shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Listening to Heroes of the North State, and I am Michelle Slade, your host this evening from My Umbrella Marketing. And tonight we are having a special broadcast. So normally you would have tuned in and listened to us last week, but this evening we have the Good News Rescue Mission team here. And I'll tell you, it is something near and dear to my heart. And as we get into tonight's topic and discussion, I'll share a little bit about that and why. But first, introductions. I'd like to introduce, if you haven't met him already, Justin Wandro, Director of Community Partnership and Development.
Yeah, that's right. Happy to be here.
That's a lot of responsibility, and you do it well.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. And then, you know, famous Mimi Mosley. Everyone knows her in town. Community partnership for the Good News Rescue Mission.
Yep.
So welcome and thank you
thank
for
you.
Joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So normally this evening, in the past, what we've done with Heroes of the North State is we had Toys for Tots come on and they talked about, all their, you know, giving back into the community. And this year, they're going through some changes and I know that's all going to come out to be really wonderful, but it left an opening for me to be able to really look for, like, who is that next person during this season and honestly all year long that is our true unsung hero in the North State. And I immediately thought of the Good News Rescue Mission with everything you guys are doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, no, I mean, it's a big responsibility and it takes so many, but yet so few to make a difference, if that even makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But tonight, just for everyone who's tuning in for the first time, if you've never listened to Heroes of the North State, a very quick synopsis. It is a show that reaches out into our community either by people that I've introduced to or someone who gives a reference of someone who's an unsung hero that rises above, makes a difference in our community just simply because it's the right thing to do. And I have the pleasure every single month to come on and talk to new people. And although the Good News Rescue Mission is not new to our area, there are a lot of new things happening. And so with that, and I'll let either of you jump in, I'm going to ask you some questions that I didn't prep you for, so hopefully you got it off the top of your head. But if not, that's okay. How long has the Good News Rescue Mission been in existence?
Since 1964.
And your purpose is, for those who maybe aren't familiar with you.
Yeah. Our purpose is to serve those who are experiencing homelessness and addiction in Shasta County.
Fantastic. Yeah. And a great job and much needed in our community, in all communities, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So 1964, well, not to age myself, but you guys were in existence before I was born, and I'm not young.
Me too.
Wow. And so all the changes. So do you know off the top, like, who founded the Good News Rescue Mission?
I do. It's actually a fabulous story.
Okay.
It was started by Pastor Royal Blue in 1964. I don't know if you know his name. He passed away a couple of years ago now, but in 1964, he had come here to Reading, and he had planted a church, which most recently would be known as Cross Point, but it was North Valley Baptist Church then.
Oh, yes.
And he got that church started, he got it established, and he was, one day he was asking God, what's next?
Yeah.
Like, I started this church, it's going really well, what do I do next? And he hears this knock on his office door, and he goes and opens it, and a gentleman opens the door and asks, are you Pastor Royal Blue? And he says, yes, I am. And he says, I've got what's next for you. It's like, what?
Wow. Well, and there it comes. Knock at the door.
They end up getting in the car and driving around Reading for like half an hour. And the guy's looking for something. He doesn't know what it is, but he's looking for something.
Wow.
And they pull up on South Market Street right in front of where the mission is now. And there's this little house. And the guy pulls up to it and stops. He says, that's it. You're supposed to buy that house and start a rescue mission.
Wow.
They go back, you know, to Pastor Roy Blue's office and they talk a little bit more. The guy eventually leaves, never to be seen or heard from again. No one knows who he was.
So a random stranger knocked on his door.
Yeah.
Maybe an angel.
Maybe an angel. Absolutely. Maybe. I believe that. I believe that is happening.
And that plants a seed in Pastor Royal Blue's heart. You know, he'd been involved in the community. He'd seen the need already.
Okay.
But it planted the seed of, oh, maybe that really is what I'm supposed to do. And so he ends up selling his portion of a restaurant that he owned to help fund and get the money to buy that house and get the rescue mission started. And that's the very beginning of the Good News Rescue Mission. Him and a couple other partners go in together and start it. A very small little location. And what I love about that, to me, that's what the heart of the Good News Rescue Mission is.
Yeah.
It's being aware of the needs in our community.
Mm-hmm.
Having your eyes open so you can see what's going on and where people need help, and then listening to what God is calling you to do, and then just responding boldly to whatever it is that God's calling you to do and the needs you're called to meet. And that's what everything at the Good News Rescue Mission that we're going to talk about today or tonight comes from, that place of what's the need and what is God calling me to do and how is he calling me to respond?
Yeah, and that really hits the mission of this show, because it's the true unsung hero. Someone, he didn't do it because, oh, I'm going to get all this attention.
People
are going to tell me how wonderful I am for giving back. He just went and sold his goods, literally, which is scriptural, and follow me.
Mm-hmm,
and you just... I mean, thankfully he did, because I have people that I know and love who abuse the mission and are changed, and their families are changed, and our community is changed because of it.
Yeah.
So, wow, what a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it's a great heritage for what the Good News Rescue Mission is.
Yeah, absolutely. So then the next chapter in that story, so do you know how long was it, the little house, how it evolved? And that's the part I didn't ask you in advance.
I don't know the exact number of years, but it was
So like as the needs grew,
maybe 10 years or so. They went in and they built the cinder block building that you now see on South Market Street. So if you drive down South Market, you see a Good News Rescue Mission sign and a 3-story cinder block building.
Yes. Yes.
And that's what they built that to make it a little bit larger than just the house.
Okay.
And it was that building for many, many years. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Probably a couple decades.
That's what I was going to say, a couple decades, because I lived in Reading since I was 10. We moved in and out. My parents were in construction, and so when there was work, we were here, and when there wasn't, we traveled. But for the most part, we were here, and then I moved back here. Oh, gosh, I was 18, 17 on my own. And it has, in my lifetime, it's always looked like that. It's always been.
So that is our oldest building by far.
Yeah.
And then we've expanded and grown as, again, people see a need and say, we need to do something about that need. For instance, one of the needs was, in that building, you had men's shelter and you had women's shelter and you had the kitchen and everything, and people like, hey, we actually need a separate place for women.
Yeah.
And so at one point their money was raised and put together to have what's called our House of Hope, our women's emergency shelter building, where it's a space for women and children to be. That's just women and children in that facility, and that's still operating today. It was built a couple decades ago and then more recently renovated, so it's newer. Mm-hmm. On the inside.
So how many families or women and children do you know that can be housed there?
Yeah, inside that building, there's room for about 70 women and children. You know, it's designed so it's not just one big open space. It's designed to have some smaller rooms in space, so it gives us the ability to move and adjust people depending on if there's a lot of kids or, you know, you need some people who have a little quieter. Or you have people who have maybe a work schedule, or they have to be up at night and that sort of thing. It gives us a lot of flexibility to work with people inside that space.
Fantastic. I want to come back to that and talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah.
So then, Mimi, your role, so the Good News Rescue Mission is evolving and changing and growing, and then you joined them at what point?
About 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
And... one of the things that I love about our community is we are a generous community. Mm-hmm. And I've been working that way for the last 16 years. Everything I've done in Reading is just because I don't have a lot to give, but what I've got to give, I can. And do we need to go to break?
We are going to go to a break.
Okay,
hold that
thought
because when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your role and then Justin, yours as well, and then we'll dive really into the Good News Rescue Mission.
Okay, sounds great.
All right, we'll be right back.
Celebrate the holiday season at Reading Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Reading Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Reading. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
According to the Farmer's Almanac, we're getting a dry, mild winter in the western states this year, honey.
Oh, please. You say that every year. We're still getting new wiper blades. Premier Oil Change has their buy one, get one free sale, and I'm not passing that up.
But the Almanac?
The only forecast I care about is buy one, get one free. Get in the car.
At Premier Oil Change, buy one wiper blade and get the second one free, now through January 7th. No appointment needed. Just cruise on in, grab a free beverage, hop on the free Wi-Fi, and earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards, all while trained technicians take care of our thorough 30-point service. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palisadra at the Holiday Market Shopping Center in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or in Anderson across from the Round Table Pizza. Stop making excuses and come to the home of the Friendly Oil Change today. Your wipers will thank you.
Your friendly oil change. Premier, your friendly oil change.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum, the host of Frontlines of Freedom, the nation's largest military news and talk radio show. We address the most pressing issues facing the security of our nation, our armed forces, our veterans, and their families. Please join us every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 on 96.5 FM. 1460 AM, KCNR, your talk radio show.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
The Reading Chamber of Commerce is working every day to make our community a better place to live, work, and do business. When you join the Chamber, you become part of a network that stands up for local employers, supports our workforce, and helps shape the future of Reading. Your membership fuels advocacy at City Hall and in Sacramento, promotes tourism through Visit Reading, and strengthens the business community that keeps our economy moving. If you believe in building a stronger Reading, we invite you to join us. Visit ReadingChamber.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade. And we left off with Mimi Mosley, who is with the Good News Rescue Mission. She is the community partnership
person.
And she's sharing with us her story about how she joined the mission. And
yeah.
So 3.5 years ago.
Yeah. I tell you, I'm just going to be very transparent. Many, many years ago when I first came to Reading, I thought everybody at the mission, they're either an addict, a criminal, or mentally ill.
Yeah.
Now, we certainly do have those that come and go, but there are so many various needs that people have, and I never realized that. And there's so many stories of success and how people have come from one spot where they were through no fault of their own in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Various things happened. They ended up in a certain situation. And I realized I cannot stereotype these people as a people group. They are individuals. And that's one of the things that I love about the mission is we look at every person as an individual, and we take into account what are your needs, what is the best way we can help this person. So they might come in on a rainy night, rainy Thursday night, and check in, and then they're like, oh, my goodness, I don't know what to do, and they get a bed for the night, and then within 5 days, they go through an intake with one of our case managers, and the case managers ask them specifically what their needs are, what are they, what can we do to help them, and many have never been in that position before.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there are issues with addictions and things like that. And I tell you, I never understood the power of addiction, even though I grew up with two alcoholic parents.
Yeah.
I never understood that power until I attended one of our graduations the very first year I was working at the mission. And I realized how the stories, when I heard these stories, I thought, holy cow, this is not just something where you can, as the old saying, you can pick yourself up by your bootstraps. One of the things Justin says is, what if they don't have boots?
I have said the same thing. So a good friend of mine would say the same thing. And I said, but not everyone is given boots.
That's right.
Or shoes to pull up.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And so we got to meet them where they're at.
That's right. And here's an interesting note. Jonathan Anderson, who is our executive director, CEO, he said one of the people think that addicts get their first taste of drugs or alcohol maybe around 12 or 13, and we have found a huge number, it's 6 years of age.
Yeah.
And so there's like an arrested development that happens at that point. So if we try to talk to this person, even though they may be 40, 50 years old, we can't just talk to them the way you would any 40 or 50-year-old. We have to understand what their needs are so that we can help them navigate where to go, how to get the help that they need. And, of course, we want to help them get into our recovery program, which is amazing. And it's a we've had such a wonderful success with so many people. And so one of the things I'm rambling, but one of the things that I love to do is I love to tell the stories.
Yeah.
I hear the stories of some of these people, and it will rip your heart out to know that generationally people have caused damage in lives. And this person, you know, it's no wonder they're where they are.
Yeah.
So when we stereotype a people group, we are, we're incorrect.
Yeah.
And we try our best to inform them of what is reality at the mission. And ways that they can help would be to, instead of giving money on a street corner, just kind of throwing it out there, it might make you feel good for a little while that, oh, I did something really great. Instead, consider giving money to the organizations and agencies who feed, house, clothe, and even employ people who have been down on their luck. And so that's what we try to do. We try to help them understand that if you can give that even dollar, give that dollar to the mission, give that dollar to FaithWorks, give that dollar to whatever nonprofit is working to help these people. Because there's some, it would take me more than an hour to share with you some of the things that have happened in these encampments and the horrible things that happen to these people.
That's so true.
And I think the thing really to remember is we as individuals are very complex.
Yes.
Yeah.
And multifaceted.
Yeah.
And if we just restrict someone down to this is what you are homeless.
Yeah.
Or you are addict. That is offensive to everything that an individual and a person is.
Good point.
That's absolutely.
And so with that, if we're multifaceted people that have different aspects to us, and we can't just have one single solution for everyone.
That's right.
There's not just one thing that is going to, you do this thing and that fixes everyone. Like, no, yeah. No, that's not how we are. We are human beings. And so a big part of what we try and do at the mission is look at everyone as an individual.
Yeah.
And figure out, hey, how do we come alongside you? And how do we help you find the strength that God has put inside of
mm-hmm.
you?
Yeah.
And help you to be motivated, to be inspired, to hold some hope for you while you can't hold it yourself,
mm-hmm.
and walk with you until you can grab onto that hope yourself.
Yeah.
And begin to see, like, oh, maybe it's emergency shelter that I need right away. Great, terrific. But maybe that doesn't work for you for very long. Like, you can't survive in a space where there's another bed next to you.
Yeah.
You may have PTSD or trauma, mental illness, a bunch of triggers that, like, that's not necessarily going to work for everybody. Some people say, I cannot possibly do that. And so that's why we have things that we've set up, like our micro shelter village.
Mm, yeah.
Where we, beginning of this year, we opened up a 17-unit micro shelter village. They're just little kind of sleeping cabins, essentially.
Yeah.
But they give someone the ability to have a space where it's their bed.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a door that they can lock.
Mm-hmm. Security.
And they can sleep at night soundly without any other distractions going on and know they have a safe place right
mm-hmm.
there.
Yeah.
And then we make sure that in that process, they are wrapped around with all of the services that they need. So when someone goes into our micro shelter, we call it Veda Street Village.
Yeah.
They get three staff members who are working with them.
Wow. That's incredible.
They've got a case manager that works with everyone in the village. And then they get assigned a case manager from our coordinated community care that works with medical stuff. And then they're given a housing navigator that works with them to help them figure out how to get into housing ultimately.
So is it a program where you tier up, or that's not the right word, where you come into the mission and then there are certain criterias? And how do you get to the industry is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, sure. Well, it varies. There are different avenues and paths. So,
okay.
So we are some people. We're pulling straight out of encampments. We have outreach team that is in encampments on a weekly basis. And so one of the things they do is they're connecting with people, building relationships, and trying to get them to a place where they're going to, hey, we'll get some help and get you off the street.
Yeah.
And it takes the right connection and relationship and trust to be built.
I was going to say, it's trust.
And so some people can come straight out of our out of an encampment into the micro shelter. Sometimes it'll be someone who they came for a couple nights and maybe they're in our congregate shelter and like, no, we're going to move you over to the micro shelter because this is when it's going to accelerate you to get back on your feet the fastest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are various different places. It could be from another agency as well.
Mm-hmm.
Could be a referral where someone comes in and their group says, hey, this would be a perfect person for this. It's really going to help them.
Yeah.
And it is, micro shelters are just 10 months long.
Okay.
So the city passed an ordinance when they allowed this type of things. It's got to be done in 10 months. It's a short-term transitional program, which is really difficult for a lot of people. If you're pulling someone out of an encampment who's been chronically homeless for 20 years.
It's a lot of healing that has to happen.
Yeah, yeah. So we look at it as really steps. And there are a lot of steps for people. And some people can kind of jump up a couple steps right away, and some people have to start at the bottom step,
mm-hmm.
but everyone needs to take certain steps to move along.
So what happens when you get to that 10 months, then where do you transition to?
Yeah, well, our goal, and we've been doing a pretty good job so far, is to move them into some sort of permanent housing.
Okay.
Do you work with
Faith Works to transition it?
Yeah, we love
Faith Works. That program.
A great, great organization.
Yeah.
Crystal, who runs it, does such a good job.
Yeah.
We love Faith Works very much, and we refer to them when appropriate and when they have space for it, definitely.
Okay.
We actually work with a lot of people to move into their own places.
Mm-hmm.
So either they'll rent a shared room.
Okay.
In a house, or they move into an apartment, possibly could even rent. We have one individual who we helped move into an RV park.
Okay.
We were able to get him an RV donated. It was in really good shape.
Nice.
And he had a little bit of income, not enough really to afford much of anything,
mm-hmm.
but enough to afford this. And so we worked with the RV park owners and managers and say, hey, we're going to support this guy as he moves into his RV in your park. We're going to support him. We're going to provide case management. We're going to continue to help him. And he's been, oh my goodness, it's been amazing.
Wow.
He was at the mission. He would be there. Just his eyes were just not there. He moved into the RV park, and oh my goodness, he lit up.
He did.
Wow. That is awesome. Okay, let's take a break.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
North Valley Distributing, a major supplier of electronic products for the industrial and construction markets, is proud to sponsor Operation Holiday Salute on KCNR to thank our veterans and those currently serving in the armed forces for your dedication and service to our country. North Valley Distributing at 3081 Crossroads Drive offers a full range of electrical and electronic products and services. Check out our website at northvalleydistributing.com.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights. Open on select dates now through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights. Plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, model trains, and more. Upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Turtle Bay members save $5 per ticket. Buy tickets online for the best price at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. Have you been affected by some of the recent changes in business ownership here in Shasta and Tehama counties? These changes follow a national trend where national companies buy up locally owned small family companies and change the culture and staff and pricing of their product. That has occurred here in the North State also. Three locally owned propane companies have been purchased by large national companies. If you're like me and you prefer to deal with locally owned companies, you may be interested to know Shasta Gas Propane, which has been around for 28 years, now has the third generation working in the company. For locally owned, family operated service and care, give us a call at 530-365-3793. Thank you.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and you're here with the Good News Rescue Mission and Justin Wandreau. He is the Director of Community Partnership and Development. And I'm sure that doesn't cover all the other hats that you, you wear.
This is a nonprofit, so you just do everything that needs to be done. Yeah.
Exactly. And Mimi Mosley, Community Partnership, and same for you, Mimi. So just before we took the break, we were talking about a gentleman who was able to come into one of your programs, transition into his own housing in a trailer park, mm-hmm. Which fit his budget and was able to make him be successful all on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
Incredible. That's one of, like, thousands of stories, I'm sure.
That's right. That's
so
right.
Tonight I wish we had a two-hour program because we could talk easily that whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But could you give me just like a quick list of the different programs that you offer so that as people are getting informed, they're getting empowered, they can share that information with our community when they're out there?
Yeah. So I like to break it into kind of like three general areas. And the first one is our emergency services. So that's what often we're known most for.
Okay.
Is we have emergency shelter. So we have a men's emergency shelter and we have a women and children's emergency shelter. And then we have all the basic things that people need to survive. So we serve three meals a day in our kitchen. We have restrooms. We have showers. We provide hygiene items and toiletries, all those most basic things, a place to be during the day, out of the weather. And that's sort of like our emergency services component. And then we have programs. And so on top of that, we have a discipleship and life skills program. Right now we have space for about 50 men in that program.
Wow.
And it's pretty much full, I think, right at the moment. And that's a residential program where they live on site about 6 to 12 months, depending on the individual. And that goes a little more deeper into helping them resolve, like, what are core issues and root causes. Mm-hmm. Often people have addiction. When they come into it, they have had addiction, so they'll work with recovery services. We get them connected to all the stuff and help them really figure out, how do I stabilize and how do I get to a place where in 6 to 12 months I'm going to be doing really good on my own and building the community that is needed to support them. And then on top of that, we have things like our micro shelters, which I was talking about, really our transitional living programs, or transitional housing. So our micro shelters is transitional. We have a women's facility that can hold about 27 women, and they can have children in there as transitional living. Wow. And then we have a sober living home for about 7 men at a time. That's transitional living. And then beyond that, then you go into some permanent housing for people. And so we have we currently have about 13 units of permanent housing right now. And so we're really trying to have everything from street outreach all the way to here's permanent housing.
Yeah.
So that we have this nice path and these steps for people that they can take these steps and have it really easy. Now, by no means do we do everything that needs to be done.
Right.
There are lots of partners and lots of people and groups that we partner with to make everything happen and work and plug in for people. But that's an overview. We're super excited because we're building and we're in progress on even more things right now.
Yeah.
So one of them has been talked about a lot is our day resource center.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, it's going to be open next summer. So we're 6 months away now from it being completed. It's been under construction for a little bit now, and it's so fun to watch it go up. But that is going to be sort of like a one-stop shop navigation center for people who are experiencing homelessness. So it'll have some additional basic things like storage for people's things. There'll be some more showers, more laundry where they can do their own laundry. It's actually going to have a cafe in there where you can come and get a coffee or maybe have some chores or responsibilities and you get one of the fancy espressos or something along with it. But the idea is to create a space that is really welcoming and really dignifying and just beautiful. You want to be there and to draw people in. And then when you're there, you have our staff, you have volunteers. We're going to have flex office spaces for other organizations to come in and have, you know, one day a week, maybe it'll be all the veterans organizations doing veteran services. And
that's awesome.
One day we might have FaithWorks there who's helping get people signed up for their housing. Maybe the county's there doing mental health services. It's just a whole bunch of different groups that can all be there so that when someone comes, like, ooh, I just heard there was a place to store some of my stuff. And now you get connected to all these other things, all in one location, in one space. So we're super excited about that. It's going to have outpatient recovery services inside there as well. And then right next door to that, this is all on the Mission campus. It's we can show you if you come down for a tour.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all on the Mission campus. Right next door to that is we're building a 75-bed substance use disorder treatment facility.
That's fantastic.
So it's going to be a 3-story facility, state-of-the-art, all the latest. It will be a 24/7 staffed residential facility where people can come in for 30 to 90 days and get really intensive substance use treatment recovery services.
So you can come in, you don't have to detox on the street. You can you come in? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. We won't be providing the detox services themselves. So you'd still need to find one of our partner agencies to work with to get detox. So somewhere like Empire Recovery, Some people do detox in the hospital, and we do see a lot of people detox in jail as well.
Yeah.
And so you still have to detox somewhere else.
Okay.
Unless a doctor would release you to our facility and say, yeah, they're going to be okay, sort of thing. But it'll be up to 90 days. And the beauty of it is what we love is it's creating, again, these steps in this pathway where someone's on the street, our outreach team connects with them. They bring them to the D-Resource Center where they're getting a shower and storing their things. They connect with our outpatient recovery services who starts to work with them. They say, hey, would you like something a little more intensive? We'll walk you right across the parking lot to our other facility. Doesn't it look beautiful? You would love to stay here, wouldn't you? And we get them plugged into that, and they do 90 days of intensive recovery services. And then from there, hey, maybe you want to go into our discipleship program. We're going to take you for 6 to 12 months, and we're going to dive deep into things. Mm. We're going to help you establish healthy habits. We're going to build community around you as we get you plugged into mentors from local churches so that you're prepared and you're ready. You're going to meet with our life coach, Kevin. He's going to help you figure out what the career is that's going to get you excited about life, that's going to sustain you. And then from there, you're going to maybe move into a sober living home where you maybe you spend another 12 months sort of on your own with a little bit of support. And then you, and then from there, you just, you fly. And there's this whole continuum of services that we're beginning to bring and have in place that we are so excited about at the mission, because it, we're already making a difference. We see what works with people, what helps people to get off the streets and get their lives transformed. And we're ready to expand it and do more of it and help more people. And it is going to, it is going to make a, such a huge difference in our community that I can't even begin.
Well, I just think about the lives that are going to be changed generationally after that.
That's right.
Mom, dad, like some of the, we talked about Faith Works. We've gone to some of their dinners and you hear the stories and the kids that, like, last year there was a gentleman who successfully has gone through all the programs, started, I think, at the mission and grew through. And his daughters were there while he's giving his testimony, and they're like, what, 7, 8, 9 years old, I don't recall, hanging on, they were so proud, hanging on their dad's arm, like, that's my dad. And I'm like, that was, to see it full, it makes me want to cry, to see it full circle was life-changing for me, even. I mean, it was just remarkable.
Almost everyone who comes through our programs, they have kids.
Yeah.
And that is such a huge part of the recovery, of the getting stabilized process, of reclaiming those relationships. It really is.
And some of those kids have never seen their mom sober.
That's right.
Yes. Well,
and
that
so
was,
we've seen that a lot in our, what, everything that we're doing. We just, these kids and inspired their mother.
Yes.
Well, wow, my kid, look what, I can do this. I can keep at this because my kid is so important.
Yeah. No, it's so true. So true. So how long, okay, so all of this doesn't happen by accident. It took a team of people.
That's right.
I mean, so how long has the back planning been going on for this next adventure? And then, and also I don't want to take up too much time because we got something to talk about for tomorrow.
Years. Everything takes years and years. There are so many hoops that you have to jump through.
Wow.
And so much minutia and detail to make it all happen.
Yeah.
But you know, about four years ago, Jonathan, our executive director, and I, we were talking and we were looking at some other sister rescue missions and what they do, and we picked up this idea of just, you know what, let's just say yes.
Yeah.
And so we began to approach things from a place of, yes, that is something that is needed in our community, and we are going to figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah. Exactly.
And someone has to jump through those hoops.
Yeah.
Someone has to do all that really hard, really tiring work to get it done, and you know, we're going to do it because the outcome and the result is to see lives change and transform. Mm-hmm. It is so powerful and feels so good to see what people can do in their lives. And they find the strength that God put inside of them. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
And some of them, I imagine, were born into it. So they were born
absolutely.
Addicted. So right out the gate, they've got this battle that they're fighting biologically, I mean, within their own.
Yeah.
And then to be able to see that transformation. I love the newsletters that come out, by the way.
Oh, good.
The stories, yeah. And the calendar. I'll have it up on my board. I look at it and read them every month. It's encouraging, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Hear the music. We got to take a break. So when we come back, we've got our last little bit of a segment. So stay tuned. You're going to hear more about the Good News Rescue Mission, and we'll be right back.
The holidays are here, and that means family, friends, and heartwarming homemade flavors. Celebrate the season at Charlu's Tap House in Anderson, where tradition, taste, and togetherness come to life. Warm up with our made-from-scratch soups and signature family sauces, crafted from cherished recipes passed down through generations. Watch the magic happen when we hand-toss every pizza to order, then bake it to perfection, crispy, cheesy, and made with love. Let the little ones explore our brand-new adventure room. With bounce houses, arcade games, and even a make-your-own pizza table where the kids can make their own pizza. While they play, you can relax with happy hour daily from 3 to 6, or pour your favorite brew from our self-serve beer wall featuring dozens of local and craft options. And don't forget the perfect stocking stuffer. Buy a $50 Charlu's gift card and get an extra $10 free. The gift of homemade flavor, family fun, and unforgettable memories. Visit charlu's.com for details, or stop by on Highway 273 in Anderson. Charlu's Tap House, where good times, great flavor, and family traditions come together for the holidays.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Celebrate the holiday season at Redding Garden of Lights, open November 21st through January 4th at the Sundial Bridge and Turtle Bay in Redding, California. Featuring 10 acres of illuminated gardens filled with over 2 million lights, plus holiday-themed music, food and drinks, glowing swings, and more. New for 2025, upgrade your experience with a train ride on the new Turtle Express, adorned with festive lights and wintry displays. Redding Garden of Lights is presented by Dignity Health Mercy Medical Center Redding. Buy tickets online at turtlebay.org.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
That's a perfect yeah. song, David. Thank you. To transition to what we're going to talk about next with Justin and Mimi, tomorrow's a big day for the Good News Rescue Mission.
It as sure is.
As opposed to every day, but tomorrow's especially
it
big.
It sure is, yes. We have our big Christmas celebration tomorrow. So every year we do a bunch of stuff for Christmas, and we're doing a whole lot tomorrow. The first thing is our Great Christmas Banquet.
Okay.
So we cook up a big, huge Christmas meal, and ham and the scalloped potatoes and the green beans and pie and drink and everything. And we serve this big meal in our dining room just for anyone in the community who would like to come.
Wow.
You know, of course, most of the people who are in our shelter come, people who are experiencing homelessness come. We also have people who are on fixed incomes who come. We have people who they can maybe afford a meal, but they don't have community.
Yeah.
And they don't have people to have a celebratory meal together with. Mm-hmm. And so we do a big meal. It's tomorrow on Friday. Lunch is 11 and 12.
Okay.
And then dinner is at 5 and 6. So if anyone's listening and you want to come and celebrate Christmas with us, come on down to the mission, 3075 Veda Street. We would love to see you. You don't have to sign up. You don't have to show up, and we will make sure you get food and you get celebration in a good community.
Well, and that in itself is a miracle that you can make that much food and not know how many people are coming.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, we're expecting to serve probably over 600 meals tomorrow between the lunch and dinner. And we have 100 volunteers that are helping. Dignity Health actually helps with this meal, providing the ham for it. And our kitchen crew cooks like crazy and gets everything put together. And donations come in. And it's such a fun time.
It is.
If you come, so you can't see because this is the radio, but I am getting prepared for my costume tomorrow. And, yes. and I'll just say it may have something to do with someone who says, bah, humbug.
Oh.
one of the great life transformation stories.
Yes, it is, actually. You're right about that.
So if you show up tomorrow, you can see me in my full costume tomorrow.
Okay.
We also have a Christmas concert.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a choir coming, and we've got an nativity at 3 p.m., so in between the meals.
Okay.
If you want to come down for some live music, see some carols with us, hear some scriptures being read, come on down for that.
It's an opportunity to come and be blessed and see other people be blessed in the meantime.
Yeah.
And there's a kids program.
Yeah.
And then, so our this one is not open to the public.
Okay.
But we have our whole toy shop for kids. Mm. So we've been signing up families who are in need. And we have 260, I think
so.
Wow.
Kids signed up. And so all day tomorrow, we basically have a toy store set up in one of our rooms. And the parents get to come in, and they get to come and pick out two or three toys per kid for the kids. So they get to look at it and decide what toys are right for them. They pick it. We have wrapping paper station with volunteers who will wrap the presents up for them nicely if they want it. And it gives kids the ability to have something under the tree or on the table. A couple of years ago, we did our Christmas toy giveaway, and I distinctly remember a single mom coming out, and she had a bag with three toys in it, and she was crying. Mm. Literally tears were coming down her face, and she came up to me. I was in my Scrooge costume, yes. She still came up to me. And she was so, so thankful. She said, thank you so much for doing this. I did not have enough money this year to buy any gifts for my kids.
Wow.
And this allowed me to have gifts for my kids that they can open on Christmas morning.
And can I tag on to that?
You absolutely can.
We have, about 2 weeks ago, our boxes were fairly empty. And we made a plea to the community. The community went crazy donating. We got bikes and scooters and drones and all kinds of crazy, amazing Legos. It was so generous of and that's who our community
are. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So, so this is our last segment. Is there anything that we're missing that we want to add in?
Well, now that you ask, I do a tour called the I Had No Idea Tour because every person I take on a tour, by the time we get to the end of it, they say, I had no idea.
Yeah.
And so I called the tour that.
I think it's brilliant.
Because the campus, people don't realize how big our campus is.
Mm-hmm.
And we go through the men's emergency shelter. We show the kitchen, all the guys back there working, all the food that gets donated. You get to see so much. And an interesting thing about going through our kitchen is we have men in the recovery program who do all the cooking, and they are amazing. They have purpose, and they learn a skill. It's wonderful. And then I also show them the walk-in freezer and walk-in refrigerator, which is on its last leg. We've been told by the repair companies that they say, hey, this isn't going to – we can't do anything else. This is the absolute end. We can't do any further. And so we need to replace it. If that thing goes out, we're out of business as far as feeding people. We have got to have that. We had one generous donation that came in, and so we're just asking people, $5, $10, just go toward our walk-in freezer and refrigerator, it's a big deal.
Yeah, that is a big deal.
Yeah, and I also want to tell you a little story very quickly. I know we're getting really tight on time, but when we talk about unsung heroes, we have got so many people. I couldn't stay here and list everybody, but I'm going to tell you about one.
Okay.
Davey.
Yeah.
Davey is a rock star. Mm. He was in prison. He got out of prison. He was a bad boy, is all I can tell you.
Yeah.
But he came to the mission. He came to see how his life could be better. He became a follower of Jesus at the mission. And now he works for us.
Wow.
And the same man, and he's a director. I mean, not a director. He's a manager. Now he goes into these encampments, and they go, wait, you're Davey.
Yeah.
You're not the guy
That's awesome.
I used to do drugs with. And all of this stuff. And Davey is, he's strong. He's loving. He's a good-sized guy, and so many people come because they know where he used to be and see where he is now, and they think, I wasn't as bad as he was.
Yeah.
Maybe there's hope for me.
Yeah.
So we have so many of those, and many of our case managers, many of our people who work with the, not the continuum of care. What's the C?
Our coordinated community care.
Yes, coordinated community care. We have so many acronyms now.
Yes.
And many of those people have walked these roads.
Yeah.
And they have just seen, I want to help somebody else. They will never be on a radio show.
Yeah.
They'll never have their name in lights. But they are doing stuff that is changing the world.
Yeah.
And we are so honored and privileged to have them. You know, getting paid by the mission. They're not making a lot of money, but they're doing it because their heart.
It's in their heart. Empowers
them, and they have to be there.
Yeah.
And
you know, it's really hard work. When you're working with people who have addiction, when you're working with people who have mental illness, it's really hard work.
Yeah, I agree.
And they show up. Our team is so incredible. They show up day after day, not just on the Christmas celebration. Yeah. But the day after, and the day after, and the day after, every single day they show up.
Yeah.
And they work with people, they love people, and have patience with people that most of us would not ever be able to do.
Yeah. So we have 2 minutes left, so I want to just say, for everyone listening, tune in again next month. We're going to have a part two to this discussion because there's just so much to talk about.
Yeah.
And also, how can we support the mission? How do we get a hold of you, and how can we do it?
Yeah. So you go to our website, gnrm.org, and you can donate there if you want to donate. You can sign up for the Get Involved button. You can sign up for the Take a Tour with Mimi. And you can see some of our needs list, the things we need, and see upcoming events, and just get involved. We love to see people in person.
Yes, absolutely.
So come down for a tour.
Definitely doing the tour, and I love both of you. Thank you for giving of yourselves and giving to our community and for helping create change. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it. Yeah. So that's our show for the Good News Rescue Mission now, but tune in January 15th right here at 6:05 on KCNR. And I'm Michelle Slade, and I'm very honored to be your host for Heroes of the North State. Have a good evening, and we'll see you again, and Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Bum, bum, bum. Newfoundland cat type, but rum pum pum pum. I played my drum board in rum pum pum.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. The news from Town Hall.